I am Pierre Lumumba, talking to you from the beautiful Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club in Nairobi, Kenya. Today, we talk about the subject of ethnic conflicts in Africa. You know, there is the tendency to talk about ethnic conflicts in Africa as if it were unique. It is important to preface this conversation by saying that conflict is what in many ways defines human relations. It matters not whether you are in Europe, Asia, Latin America. Conflict is what has been present throughout the ages. We choose to talk about ethnic conflict in Africa because our subject is the continent of Africa. You know, this continent, the continent of Africa, has over 3,000 ethnic groups, the most diverse continent on earth. It has over 2,100 distinct languages. And before the advent of colonization, many of these ethnicities had their own systems of governance. The territories changed. You had the farmers who settled and were tilling the land. They had their kingdoms. If you looked at the kingdoms of the Ashanti, the kingdoms of the Baganda, the kingdoms of the Monomotapa Empire, the kingdoms that were to be found were in what is now Ethiopia. There were many kingdoms, Bunyoro, Kitara, there were many. And of course, they are nomads, those who move from country to country or from region to region or territory to territory, and they are simply grazing their animals, and of course, in the process of grazing their animals and moving from territory to territory, definitely conflicts arise. So when one talks about ethnic conflict in Africa, one must characterize those conflicts before the advent of the colonizer and after the advent of the colonizer. Creation of kingdoms and conquest was not unique to different parts of the world. It was also a part of the African kingdom creation. When one looks at the ethnic groups in the western part of Africa, you had big kingdoms such as the Ashanti kingdom, and one will remember people like Sundiata Keita, the epic of Mali, who in the process of trying to create his territory was subduing other ethnic groups. Those were areas that were rife with conflict because there was territorial expansion. There was also conflict that arose as a result of the competition of empires. So you would find the Ashanti getting into conflict with the Mandinka or with the Yoruba in terms of trying to retain territory. So kingdom creation was in itself a breeding ground for conflict in pre-colonial Africa. Conflict was also generated because of the struggle for resources. When those who were nomadic were moving from different parts of Africa to other parts of Africa, as we have seen in the history of migration, then one sees that there is conflict which is brought about by the competition for resources. And those resources could mean grazing grounds. The resources would mean water, and these conflicts continue to persist even up today. There were also conflicts which were born out of fickle things, just the ego of those who are in control of their territories, such as kings. And when Africa started trading with the rest of the world, then it must be told that some African kings were themselves taking hostages and selling them as slaves within the African continent. And of course, when slave trade started in earnest and quite a number of African countries started trading with Europeans and the Arabs on the western part, the first trade that started in earnest was the trade that took place between quite a number of communities with the Portuguese. And you find that Portuguese influence, the Dutch were involved, the Swedes were involved, the British were involved, the French were involved. And you only have to visit the coast of Ghana, for example, you see the castle, the Elmina Castle, and many castles in that area. This was also evident as you move down in Angola. If you meet some of the major conflicts that took place between the traders that were looking for India, the early explorers such as Vasco da Gama, who were moving from Lisboa, or what is Lisbon in English, and were planting their padraos. These padraos were signs of conquest. And all these brought about conflicts. You'll also find conflicts that were generated and created by outsiders. If you go to Sierra Leone, for example, the conflict between the Temne and the Mende was manufactured by those who were looking for slaves. So the reasons for the conflict in that part of the world were multiple, and this was also to be reflected in a unique way in the eastern part of Africa, where the Arab slave traders came and settled along the eastern coast. And you see them in the coast of Tanzania, the Omani Arabs in Zanzibar and in Pemba, and you find them in, the Arabs in Lamu, in Mombasa, way down to places like Sofala in Mozambique. And these were slave traders. Those who are familiar with African historians will remember a notorious slave trader called Tipu Tip, who was named after the sound of the gun. Whenever he shot people, it would be tip tip, and therefore he was named Tipu Tip. And these were major traders. These were conflicts that were brought about. So we see conflicts which were endemic within the continent of Africa as a result of territorial expansion, conflict that came about because there was competition for resources between the farmers and the nomads, conflict that were brought about by external factors who were the traders. And this is what culminated in ultimately the partition of Africa. So when these conflicts had been brought about by external factors, then some of these foreign powers, particularly the European powers, and there were many of them, the Italians, the Danish, the Dutch, the Spanish, the English, the French, the Belgians, all of them then said, instead of fighting amongst ourselves and using, in order to use these tribal differences or ethnic differences, let us partition the continent of Africa. And we do not remember this as often as we should do, but the person who actually initiated that particular conference was Leopold of the Belgians. In 1884 to 1885, the European powers then sat in Berlin in Germany and partitioned the continent in what today we see as African countries. And the partition was as arbitrary as it was dangerous. So that you go to what is today present day Ghana, you find one ethnic group is found in Ghana. The Moba, called the Bimoba in Ghana, are also found in Togo. You go to Gambia, you find the Mandinka, and in that general area in Sierra Leone, you find the Zagawa, you find the Kanuri, and you come to Tanzania, you find the Maasai in Tanzania, the Maasai in Kenya, you find the Baganda also finding themselves, the so-called Luhya tribes, and you go down south, you find people who are different, the Sotho, the Swana. All these then became the breeding ground of what is modern day African conflict, post-colonial African conflict, because of the arbitrary partitioning of these boundaries. One of the most unique conflicts in this regard is the conflict that persists today in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the Rwandese kingdom was partitioned so that we have one part of the kingdom in what is present-day Rwanda, and the rest remained in the Democratic Republic of Congo, who are called the Banyamulenge. And these are people who speak the same language, and yet they have now find themselves in a different country. The same is with Somalia. You find the Somalis are to be found in Djibouti. They are to be found in Ogaden in present-day Ethiopia. They are to be found in what is Somalia. They are to be found in Kenya. And all these things were the breeding ground of what is modern-day conflict. And when countries regained independence, one of the very first issues that was the subject of discussion in Addis Ababa in 1963, should we redraw the boundaries in order to reduce these ethnic conflicts, to reduce cross-border conflicts? And the voices that were very clear at that time, people like Kwame Nkrumah, Julius Kambarage Nyerere, Emperor Haile Selassie of Ethiopia said, no, if we begin to redraw these boundaries, which country would not be at conflict with the other? And therefore, in 1964, when there was a meeting convened by Egypt's Gamal Abdel Nasser, one of the things that Africans agreed upon, African leaders, is that the inherited colonial boundaries would be inviolable. It's called the doctrine of the inviolability of inherited boundaries. It was in an attempt, therefore, to ensure that conflicts do not take place. And this, in fact, was one of the reasons that motivated those founding fathers, the 32 of them, to talk about the unification of Africa so that the boundaries would only be useful for purposes of administration, but they would not be a basis for conflict. But the reality is that those conflicts have persisted, and ethnic conflicts, even within countries, have persisted, so that when you look at many African countries today, the ethnic conflicts that we have are fundamentally a continuation of, number one, the seeds of discord that were sown by the colonizers, and also the manipulation of the latter-day African politician. So that when one talks about, for example, the genocide in Rwanda against the Tutsi, which happened first in 1959 and again in 1994, you can see its genesis from the manipulation initially by the Germans and then by the Belgians and ultimately by the French, which led to the massacre of the Tutsis and the moderate Hutus. And this is as a result of the politicization of these relationships. So foreign intervention has also been alive and well, and whenever they have seen the fire of ethnicity, they have added the oil of manipulation in order to ensure that the conflagration continues, so that they continue to exploit African countries on the basis of ethnic differences. That is something that Africa must resist, and Africans must collaborate, if they must, with foreign powers only to the extent that it is in their best interest, because collaboration and human interaction is inevitable, but it is important to ask, to what end are we collaborating? For what purpose are we collaborating? And if you are collaborating for a good reason and for a good purpose, then that is the nature of human relations. We will discuss this subject in greater detail, because it is a subject that deserves great attention, particularly now that we are seeing the beast and monster of ethnic difference beginning to grow bigger and bigger, as if it were Dracula that has consumed blood. Thank you very much for listening to us. We are here at the Windsor Golf Hotel and Country Club. We'll see you again as we continue our conversation about the mother continent, Africa.